It's GDP Day. We're having pastries. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. We own our nerdery around here, so yes, there are pastries for GDP Day. In a couple of hours, the Commerce Department will tell us how fast the economy grew in the second quarter. We're especially curious for these numbers because expectations are high. Some of that strong growth may be due to one-off factors specific to this quarter, but growth may well top 4%. Last quarter, it was only 2%. And zooming in a bit, expectations are particularly high for consumer spending, as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Whether we buy stuff largely depends on how much money we have and what we think our future income's going to be. Up until the recession, economists traditionally thought of consumer spending as the volatile part of the economy. Is the consumer feeling good today? Austin Goolsbee teaches economics at the University of Chicago and was an economic advisor in the Obama administration. He says over the past few years, consumer spending has become very predictable.
Consumer spending is sort of the slow, steady race winner here. You know, consumer spending has kind of turned itself into the tortoise in the race.
Consumers are confident because they have jobs. Unemployment is at near record lows. But what about that trade war? Bob Murphy, an economics professor at Boston College, says he actually doesn't think that influences when everyday Americans buy stuff.
I don't know if they make the connection that directly, that things are likely to cost them more down the road, and therefore they rush out and buy today.
Because prices haven't risen dramatically. The cost to make things is higher, but companies are largely taking the brunt of that pain, at least for now. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
A Chinese regulator has said it's regrettable that chipmakers Qualcomm and NXP have abandoned plans to merge. The deal needed regulatory approval in 9 countries. All but China had given the go-ahead for the deal before it was scuttled earlier this week. Qualcomm and NXP have blamed Chinese opposition to the deal due to trade tensions between Washington and Beijing. Not so, says China. BBC Business reporter Rob Young has more.
China's antitrust authority failed to approve the tie-up between San Diego-based Qualcomm and NXP of the Netherlands. The US Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has said he's disappointed the merger got the green light in every other country, but not in China. Analysts say it's clear the deal has become a casualty in the ongoing trade war between Washington and Beijing. In an attempt to perhaps dispel that narrative, China's State Administration for Market Regulation has now said it hopes to find a solution so the merger can go ahead. However, it seems unlikely the deal will be resurrected. Qualcomm has already handed over a $2 billion break fee to NXP, and both firms have announced share buybacks. Some fear the episode will worsen the already poor trade relations between the US and China. One senator, Marco Rubio of Florida, has said Washington should retaliate and reimpose a ban on the Chinese tech firm ZTE.
The BBC's Rob Young. And now let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up nearly 0.5%. Dow and S&P futures are up 0.1%. That's 29 points for the Dow. NASDAQ futures are up 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury yield is 2.97%. And Amazon is down almost 3% in pre-market trading this morning, even after its earnings yesterday topped profit expectations. The company earned $2.5 billion last quarter. That's up from just $200 million, that's right, million, this time last year.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, We all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
So you get a new job or a big promotion, and then you think, wait, can I really do this? Apparently, that happens even at the highest levels of the company. In a recent survey of global CEOs, 68% acknowledged that, in hindsight, they weren't fully prepared to take on the top job. Dick Patton is a partner with advisory firm Egon Zehnder, which conducted the survey. Welcome, Dick.
Thank you very much, Tracy.
So in your survey, you found a majority of CEOs admitted they didn't feel prepared to take on a leadership role. In what sense? How so?
Well, that's correct. And on one hand, they felt quite prepared, and that's with respect to experience. But on the other hand, they didn't feel prepared, and that's with respect to mindset, which is the use of empathy, managing a very diverse range of stakeholders, being both an internal person and an external person. All of these things about being the role is the area that these leaders felt less prepared for.
You also found that CEOs who were hired from within the company felt less prepared than those hired externally. And that actually feels a little bit counterintuitive to me. Can you explain that?
Yes, for sure. There are a couple reasons for that. One is it's much more difficult to start to lead the people who you use to work shoulder to shoulder with. It's also more difficult to change the culture of an organization that you've been part of for 5, 10, 30 years. The second area is, I think that boards and companies are letting down internally appointed CEOs in terms of their integration. The ramp that is built for externally appointed CEOs has much better infrastructure than for internally appointed ones. Boards need to spend more time and focus on integrating internally appointed CEOs.
If they're less prepared in those areas, how could this trip them up? What might some of the implications be for the companies they lead?
Well, I think, it's a pretty level playing field. So most felt unprepared for this. So I don't think there's a particular trip up for one type of leader. One area that's particularly more challenging than it used to be is stakeholder management. The difference now is that almost all stakeholders, as diverse as they are, employees, investors, analysts, governments, regulators, communities, all of these stakeholders pull equally on a leader's time. And it's very difficult to prioritize your time because you're being pulled in so many different directions at the same time.
Okay, Dick, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks very much. It's my pleasure.
Dick Patton with the advisory firm Egon Zehnder. And I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.